AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue After Show Season 6, Episode 16, Not Cleared for Takeoff.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzz TV Bar Rescue fans. Kevin Undergaro here, bringing you the after show for Bar Rescue. I'm joined by Jeff Graham, a.k.a. Jeff Scam.
Jeff Scam, here in the building,
ready to talk some Bar Rescue.
And of course, Nate Miller.
That's me.
You know, tonight, you guys, I think it's going to be one of our better after shows because we are somewhat familiar with this bar. Nate has some inside information about the bar. We also went to Bar Rescue Update, so we have a current update on
Kevin. I thought you were going to say this will be one of our better after shows because Miss Nicole Brager isn't here.
Oh, no.
I definitely thought that's where he was going.
I'm so sorry.
I was tread carefully.
No, now listen, it's certainly going to hurt because she's the bar. She's our mixologist.
She's our mixologist.
And she knows the ins and outs.
I think she's bartending right now.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. She invited us to go over.
Yeah. So after this, get a drink.
I wish. But here's the problem. If I go, I won't leave. So I enjoyed the episode. You guys, I mean, I still haven't seen an episode I haven't enjoyed, but I want to hear you guys, especially where you're newer to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, I don't want to interrupt, Nate.
No.
I thought it was a solid episode. I mean, it was fun to see an LA bar just because I've lived here for long enough to sort of understand the bar culture of Los Angeles. It did feel very East LA. And I do think the manager was, and maybe still is, lacking the know-how to really make sort of a hipster music bar work. I'll be interested to talk about how John tried to work with him to make some changes. But yeah.
The owner or the manager?
Luis, whoever that
was.
The
owner.
The owner, yeah. And maybe also the manager a little bit, too. I think Nadia was maybe a bit closed-minded and didn't have the open-mindedness to make the adjustments you need to in a neighborhood like that.
Or maybe is it open-mindedness or just even the ability?
Yeah.
Seem like loyal, hard worker, into cleaning or whatever, but... You know, we were talking about this before we were on the air. When it's a music venue, you really need... That's a different world. And
right.
I wish John were here because he could probably speak to it. But, Nate, what were your thoughts?
It was good. I liked it. It was a enjoyable episode. In the pantheon of Bar Rescue episodes, I feel like it's one I've kind of seen before with just a different location and different names. But, yeah, it was cool to get a break from Florida for a while. It's nice to see a place that I could potentially visit if they're still open in a few weeks. But yeah.
Well, this was done about a year ago.
Yeah.
As we discover. And Luis is the owner. And it's an interesting story because it was a guy that started out as a dishwasher. I'm sure he was an immigrant and, you know, worked his way up to own a bar. And I think it was like 12 years ago, he buys this place. And it's the same old story. It starts out pretty good. He has a couple of months. He's making like 60 grand a month. And then the decay begins because probably he didn't know how to do this. I mean, this isn't just food and beverage. This is food, beverage, and music. And it's music mainly that's going to drive it.
Whenever there's a third component. So I was actually watching Bar Rescue on a plane last night. They had DirecTV, which was cool. And I watched an episode right before this one. And it was the Platinum Club strip club episode in Vegas.
Right.
And that was kind of my first time seeing an episode where it wasn't just a bar, it wasn't just a restaurant, but there was an entertainment component. And it shows you how it is a different rescue when that component... So for the strip club, you know, you're not just making adjustments to food, drink, and atmosphere. You're making adjustment to talent and how the entertainment component of the bar is handled. So I think Luis had maybe lost sight of that component of his bar, was the impression I got.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he wanted Latino high-end jazz music.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, how big is that market?
Not big enough.
I think it's cool, but how big is that market? I remember, you know, years ago, my mom wanted to open a place and, you know, and it was, and again, it was always toward what she wanted and it was never thinking about what the public wanted. And I'm like, Mom, you know, you're appealing to you and your older friends who order two glasses of wine and go home. I'm like, you know, you can't afford to run a bar on that.
Right.
With these music bars, and I worked at one, so I have experience here, probably over Nicole. Like, I don't know if Nicole worked in a music venue, but the bar that I worked in for 2 years, it was called TT the Bears in Boston. It was actually a famous venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aerosmith had played there when they started out, and it was just one of those, you know, traditional rock clubs. And we had all different nights, too, because those Tuesday, Wednesdays, or those, yeah, Tuesdays, Mondays and Tuesdays, and especially Sunday nights were kind of soft. So it was always a challenge to get people in there. So we did the poetry. We did all that stuff. We had to, but all different kinds of music. And the fine line is you want really good music, but then there's times where you might not get the best music, but if the band has a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we would get a band that would come in, and they would have this unbelievable, huge local fan base. Literally from there, like it was like, it feels like it was like the hometown band. Do you ever have those, Jeff, like in your town?
That would have been, well, funnily enough, they were called Oasis. And we were always like, guys, you know that there's another very famous band called Oasis, right? And it was these old guys in their 40s, and they had a Bay Village, Ohio, huge following.
Huge following. Yeah. So, I feel like in high school, you always have that one local band. And anyway, they can carry, a crowd that's always going to go and see them no matter where they play. And you make some money, but then, maybe the music's not quality. It's tough. And I'm surprised John didn't urge him to get a concert promoter or a booker,
mm-hmm.
because that's so important.
Because
he was not a man that could book.
Mm-hmm.
If he likes that one kind of music and he actually hates the other music, that's a recipe for disaster.
I wonder, too, if Lincoln Heights is an area that's gentrified so much. Like, I wonder if 30 years ago, all of the locals, that was their bar. But, it's East L.A.'s become a paradise of hipsterdom, and I'm sure there's many less.
Yeah, but the bone, and and to your point though, the bones of the bar speak to hipsterdom.
Yeah.
In fact, I think this is one of the first recons that John and Phil Wills, shout out to Phil Wills, our mixologist expert, and if you tune into our show, we feel he is in the holy trinity of mixologists with Lisa Marie Joyce and
Mia.
But both Phil and John agreed that the outside was amazing, mm-hmm. and we rarely hear that. And then we hear that Phil used to hang out there, that he enjoyed the place when he was younger too. So this should work,
right?
But I feel like this is the kind of place. It's out of all the bars that we've seen, this is definitely one of those places that it's about the head of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
You can't autopilot this.
Yep,
this is for somebody who really has a passion for music,
mm-hmm.
and business as well. So if a country music band comes in, great. I don't like country music, but you know what? They always get a good following. That's a full-time job in and of itself. And he's clearly, he wasn't even down to, bus drinks. I don't see him as a type of being on the phone trying to get the next hot band in there.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't think death metal was something that he was interested in pursuing.
No, he wasn't. he did have a, we learned he is a manager, Nadia, 20 years of restaurant experience. She's only been there for about 6 months and seemed really nice and very well-intended and honest and hardworking. But again, not somebody I would have run a music venue.
Mm-hmm. Not right.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Because again, somebody on this team, Nate, has to have a passion for music or at least understand music and business.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know if it has to be her.
But it's got to be somebody. You're right. It doesn't. Because she could totally, listen, if she kept the trains running on time and we had some booking the best bands, fantastic. You're right.
I don't know. I think you're not giving Nadia enough credit. We've seen other managers with the same type of ownership that don't.
You're right.
No. She was trying. She was trying.
100%.
Yeah.
So let me be clear.
But I understand what you mean.
You're right. If we could, if I could hire a manager, I think she's fine because she was doing, other than not delegating, which maybe.
Well, they also had no staff too.
Right.
They had no staff.
It was a skeleton staff. Yeah. And that's very astute of you to pick up. And John has said that before on other shows. He said, sometimes it's hard. We get in there and they don't because they've run out of money. They don't have.
Yeah, there's nobody left.
Because notice they kept recycling the bar. Staff would end up in the kitchen
for
when they were doing, training. You're right. But I think I like how she cared. I like how she was proactive. And she would start cleaning, which we've seen most of the bar rescue managers like, oh, no, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. No, she's
she stayed better, and cleaned the bar. And she didn't make any excuses.
But she was also cleaning before. She comes in every day.
Right.
She's only been there 6 months, and literally, she can't get to her work.
Right.
You know, so, and I understand not having that. I always look at myself, I always had that, okay, I'm coming out on weekends. I don't care about the money. We're going to get this done. And then they motivate everyone else to do it too.
Right. Or you got to have the support system.
Right. Anyway, so as we see, we hear they're 80,000 in the hole. We meet the daughter, which we don't. That storyline doesn't really pay off.
Yeah, it didn't.
She works
really
there
pay
a couple
off.
Of days a week.
I think she just wanted some validation. I think she deserved it too. From that sit down. But yeah, it was kind of
right
random
tacked on.
Yeah,
you know the. Of course, we get to see the usual follies in the kitchen with also named Luis the cook.
Yeah,
and. So it's funny now. So I have more experience than John when it comes to fry-related oil. I will say this one thing, because I was in the carny business for 10 years, and so all we sold was French fries and fried dough. And when oil's like that, what it really is, the properties in the oil that are available to cook the product have now been burnt out. They're gone. Mm. So that's why it's like motor oil. It starts out kind of a golden brown that's, you know, clear.
All the good stuff's in there.
And then at the end, it's like black.
It's like muddy.
Muddy, right? Yeah. And so this is the same thing. So it's that fry-related oil is golden brown, you know, and you can see through it. Mm-hmm. And then by this, it's sludge. It's not even oil anymore. So what ends up happening is with frozen foods that go in there, they appear to be cooked, but they're really more boiled. Because it's just basically a hot liquid solution that boils, but doesn't really fry them.
Fry it.
Yeah, and it looks darker because of all the crap that's in there. So you think it's cooked more than it is.
That's right. And you tend to leave it in longer because it's not cooking. So a lot of times it'll come out like they'll be dark, the fries or whatever the product is. And it's dark in color, but like Nate's saying, it's not really cooked through.
Yeah.
And that's just a matter of, you know, I know restaurants every night that change those. Nate, did your chilies get changed every night?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You got to drain it.
It's sometimes on a busy day they would do it in the middle of the day.
I'm sure
it really makes the best product.
But the thing that kills me is like it's one thing to not maybe change your oil as much as it was to, but also the whole thing was just disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I don't think it had ever been cleaned.
Never.
It was disgusting.
It was gross.
I
don't understand how you could make food in that and give it to people and then like go home and
sleep
at night.
Wait, you didn't like the cheese and the why are you going to be like that, Nate? You're such a hater. It looks so appetizing.
John also did not like the fry-later, though.
That triggered the, I got to get, yeah, I love John's,
I got to get in there.
Yeah, when he snaps. And so he's in the SUV and he sees our band, American Authors, kind enough to come in. And by the way, you could tell they were such Bar Rescue fans.
That's why they were
like,
there.
Yeah, they're like, we talk about it all the time. When we go to bars, we're like, this is what John would do. And so it was great. And by the way, like, I just, if you're famous, and I have so many famous people come up to me and say, I've seen you on that show and I love that show. Like, John would have anyone on.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
That.
He would have anybody on. Like, just all you got to do is reach out to him. Go in and do recon. These guys do. I was okay. And then, Jeff, I told you when I snapped. I snapped, so, you know, Nate, when American Author went into the kitchen and the fry is bubbling, whatever, and I see these four beautiful coiffed hairstyles. You know, tons of effort in Prague putting those hair. And then I freaked out. I go, okay, we got to get them out. I freaked out. That's what would have made me snap. Get these poor guys out. The grease and the oil, Nate, wasn't going to affect those beautiful hairstyles.
Protect the talent at all costs.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Kevin, that thought had not crossed my mind.
Yeah, not. Okay, now has it, though?
No. I'm still a little bit more concerned about the food poisoning.
Nate, this is their brand, capital B.
But here's what's interesting about this. It's like John tears their ass out. And the cook was great. He had similarities to you, Nate. Because
I resent that.
In this one respect where he was like, yeah, I'm just going to get my ass ripped out now. Like, he just accepted his fate, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
I would never be in that position.
You wouldn't be in that position.
I would never,
anyway.
Yeah.
But if especially, you were in that position.
Especially not after seeing them put all the cameras up that they do. You best believe as soon as they put the cameras up, I'd be the best employee ever. Everything would be clean.
I know, but we say that all the time. Right. But these guys, you would think human nature that they would do that, but they don't.
But I don't work at these places.
I was going to say, but you know, there's also the element too. Like if you are a staffer on a Bar Rescue episode, they'll find a way for the narrative.
Oh, of course.
And if you were in that position, I don't think you'd be snapping back at Taffer, especially as a fan of the show.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, you'd know.
No.
They might do the walkout.
I'd be
though.
The one.
Yeah, I could see the walkout.
If I was in a position season like this, I'd be the one like calling John, and I'd be showing up outside in the SUV like, all right, I'm going in for my shift. Are you guys ready? Watch this crazy stuff that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I'd go into work like undercover. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be a good mole. But here's what's interesting. He yells, the cook accepts it, and as we said, the manager is like, all right, great. And he leaves them. He doesn't even clean. The owner doesn't even help them clean. And the next day, John had the best line, on him leaving. He's like, no, that makes you an asshole.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, I don't know, there wasn't any comeuppance either for that.
He didn't really give an F. I think, like, Luis, and we'll talk later in updates where the bar is now, but I think, like, Luis is kind of over it.
Tapped out.
I think he's tapped out.
Yeah. Well, we've all been there.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I think he's tapped out. But when you say that, that implies that there was a time when he was in the fight, right? Because I do want to give him some credit.
Yeah.
Like when he jumped behind the bar for the stress test,
he knows
how to do it.
That's
he's
right.
worked all the job. That's he knows right. how it needs to be
right.
done.
He's a
but
worker.
Just like you said, he's tired. He's tapped out.
You know, you do get broken. You have no staff, so he doesn't have anyone to put any of the small work onto to help him. I mean, you see, Bill's coming in, the place is a mess, and it's why I always say, like, oh my God, go get I don't know, have a I've seen bars, you know what, have a get all their regulars together, which he probably didn't even have regulars, which is really sad, but I've had bars gather all the regulars to come in and help. Like, this is our bar, do you guys want to keep it? I don't make, you know, we're not making any money, and I've seen that where all the regulars have come in. But when you're all alone like that, yeah, I get it.
I think
you just go, I'm done.
A lot of what it comes down to is just, he obviously is a hardworking man, started as a dishwasher, worked his way up. I think when he bought this bar and had this dream and this plan that he didn't envision him putting work into it as much as, like, I own this and I'll have a manager and they'll take care of all the stuff. But now that I'm the owner, I don't need to clean the floors and stuff like I used to.
Right.
So I think that's why he taps out so easily, because he does all the hard work and then he realizes, I don't want to do this. I'm the owner. I'm beyond this or something. That's the vibe that I got from him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he'll never be a good owner.
No, no. When we go into the bar training, interesting to hear, Phil Wills talk about plastic glasses in a music venue. It's really smart. You know, I always like when they throw those little things out.
Me
makes
too.
Sense, right? Mm-hmm. But, oh, here's what I love: pre-batch cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, I love that as for my limited bartending experience, because that's easy, and then you're just pushing out product and making money.
Mm-hmm. Here's what confused me about this, though.
Yes.
So before the pre-batch cocktail, he was talking about how it's so important to shake your cocktail before you serve it.
All right, really, Jeff? You have to Phil Wills.
It's just in general.
I'm like, as a bar rescue newbie, I'm like learning so much about the actual etiquette of bartending. So I was confused if shaking the cocktail is so important when they prepared that whole thing. Do you then shake it when you serve it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on the implementation of their batch, but I'm pretty sure the batch is just for, like, the mix.
Yeah.
And then the alcohol is in another
thing.
Oh, that
makes sense.
So what you do is you still prep the drink, you put the ice in the glass, you pour the liquor, and then you pour your pre-mixed
batch,
which has everything, all the other stuff in it.
Gotcha.
And then you shake it.
See,
and then you and then it's like, hey, look, here are my fresh drinks.
Right.
Okay.
If Nicole were here, she would be able to verify. So
yes,
we'll find out from Nicole.
Or tell me if
in
I'm
the
wrong.
Weeks to come. But I like that. I know mixologists bum out about that because it's such an art to them.
The time
and
a place.
That. But for me, I'm all about, let's push the product out, let's make money,
and that venue,
move on
too.
To the next game.
You have to in that venue,
right?
Too.
If I'm going to get a drink at a show, I'm not trying to get a craft old fashioned
right.
that takes
and
10
by
minutes
the way,
and is stirred.
As a bartender, we hate those guys. Who in the middle of a raging show, the place is jammed, and it's like, hi, I'd like an old-fashioned, please, with a twist of lime and, chilled glass.
Specific liquor recommendations.
Yeah, it's like, okay, whatever, buddy. but moving over to the kitchen, I'll say this. I usually bum out when the mixologists create these intricate drinks, and I know Nicole loves them or criticizes them, but she criticizes them because they could be better. I criticize them because I know the people behind the bar will never be able to replicate those drinks when they leave, so you're setting them up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard pre-batch, I'm like, okay, this could work.
Mm-hmm.
So then going to the kitchen, that whole meat and this Mike Farrar was in the kitchen. He owns a couple restaurants, and we've seen him before, and I like him. But you know that meal with the meat and the cheese and the. What was it? It was even like.
Did they make something else too? It was a.
They did, but I'm talking about the practice, the basic training. But something like that, it's like, oh my God, it's already a dirty place. There's so many little things that have to be done.
Right.
And again, you're tasking a guy who couldn't boil French fries. So I always go, here's what I did. Like, they were finger foods that are mm-hmm. easy to consume,
portable,
right? But for a place like that, I'm sorry, John would freak out, but I think that's where you go frozen.
Yeah.
You get those kind of things frozen. In clean oil, drop them in. But I think doing all that prep at a music bar.
Maybe if you mass prep them at the beginning of the day and freeze them yourself.
Well, yeah, that was the idea. But mm-hmm. again, you know, I don't know. I think we're asking a lot.
Yeah, especially for such a skeleton crew.
I thought so.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with the stress test was that I like this. John did a pre-show,
mm-hmm.
a show, and a post-show simulation, which is really cool. And again, I can speak to this, you know. So when you're in a music bar, it's all about, I got to push drinks out. And then when it starts, people are still drinking, but they're really more focused on the music. But there's still money to be made. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of money to be made. But it's not as crazy as that first rush. So it's definitely... We would do prep, a ton of prep work. Then before the band, you know, we would deal with the crowd, knock that crowd down, and then we would reset. So mm-hmm. we would restock coolers, you know, if we had to reload fruit, things like that. And then you get another wave because a lot of these places have two or three bands playing at night, sometimes more. So you get
another wave in between the sets.
So you keep getting those waves. So I think that was really good that they ended up doing it. And our old friends from the band Psychic Love were playing.
They're pretty good.
Just a shout out to Psychic Love.
Taffer seemed to be at least on screen a fan. Right?
I was tapping my foot along with Psychic Love.
Psychic Love. We've seen worse bands on this.
Juliette in the Booth, can you look up Psychic Love, the band?
She's on it.
Maybe find something on that.
I just like that when he referred to them, he said the band, because when he was referring to American Authors, he just said American Authors. And at first I was like, it's just the guys who write books.
Psychic Love.
Psychic
Jules.
Love.
Yeah, I hear you. It is. I wonder.
I feel like with that kind of name, it should be preceded by the band American Authors.
They had that huge hit in 2013.
Listen, they had very nice leather jackets,
and their hair was amazing, and it almost got wrecked with the grease. That's what I'm. So, see, Nate, you're now starting to share my pain.
Sure.
Danger zone.
You know, we've got one credit card machine. We, like you said, Nate, not enough staff. I mean, you would, for a really big band, you would have maybe a waitress out there. Who'd be, you know, right, grabbing drinks?
Yep, Psychic Love.
This is Psychic Love, huh?
Loving it.
And do we know anything about them, Juliet?
We can sure find out.
She's on it. How many views on this video, Jules? She's looking it up. 4,000. Nice. They're new. They're up and coming.
All right, Psychic Love. Got a little hit on Bar Rescue. One credit card machine. Oof. I mean, this place is just depleted.
Not equipped.
Because when you look at that backstage, you guys, and a front stage, like if you had the right person to book the right talent, that place could crush.
It was big too. Like, the thing is, LA real estate is so competitive and sparse. And I've been to plenty of music bars in LA, and they're usually one room with one stage.
That's it.
And to have that, there's so much potential for place to be a huge venue.
And I always love when we go after the bars that have these other features, like this had the outdoor
mm-hmm.
stage. But but we don't have enough people, we don't have the equipment and the systems. I mean, it's like, go over to, what is it, you order food at the bar,
and you get a number,
and then someone,
you read a novel, take a class at UCLA, back for your food,
and then it's like, I couldn't understand the system. They have to hear you yell the number.
Phil started laughing. It was like they were sitting, Nadia was sharing it, and then he's like, this won't work. He wasn't even mad. He was just like, this is so confusing.
Well, when we go to advanced training, chicken, buffalo, meatballs, quick, efficient, and fresh, is what the cook said he wanted to provide for them. And okay, I'm like, all right, that's what we need.
Right.
And maybe if you do those and you mass freeze them.
Yeah.
You know, and of course more Badge cocktails. And then we have the sit down with Luis, John, and trying to get the fire back in him. You know, it's funny. I always think most of the time when people are done, they're done, and especially when they're older. Mm-hmm. And over 30, 35, it's like most people are just cemented as to who they are. But you know, John has had moments where he's been able to, it's surprising, where they've been able to turn around. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe when the monkey's lifted off their back or it's a brand new place and everything's, you know, I don't know. There, some people, but I guess it's almost like alcoholism, you know, where it's like, what is it, 1 out of 10? Or like, there's just only a small amount of people right. That can be, that can be fixed or treated. But he sits with this guy. I'm with you, Nate. I just like, there's no, I don't think there's any way you can breathe life into him.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of sad because, again, like when we saw him working, when he was making drinks, like it was clear that he knew what he was doing and right. He knew how to do it. But I think he just, either he's not willing or he doesn't want to change. And that's just what is required, especially in this industry. And even if we look at things like we were talking about before, like them only having the one credit card machine, like the food issue, like there's a lot of things that even outside of just poor management or poor maintenance, like, are just bad decisions and that are not set up for success, especially over a long period of time. So to imagine that they've gotten as far as they have with only one way to run cars, that's insane.
Do you think Luis, like, I sort of wonder if he feels like his neighborhood has changed. Like, I was trying to think of his story, and maybe now that the music he loves isn't as viable at the bar,
yeah. He
feels, especially as an immigrant, and his, you know, I wonder if like the gentrification of Lincoln Heights, he's disillusioned by it.
You know what? Now that you mention that, because he probably was the only music venue providing that kind of music
right. In
a time where his neighborhood was predominantly Latino, like, you know, that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It probably all was clicking for him originally, and then, you know, gentrification has come.
Right.
And he didn't adapt.
Right.
But he, you know, I don't know, I can't say enough for burnout. You know, job burnout will get you. You know, it's tough, and it's really tough to recover from it. I've seen people never recover.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It's tough.
And I think also, too, you know, as we know, this bar, he says a couple times, like, their only busy night is Wednesday, and their Wednesday nights for the past year, since 2006, has been an event called Low End Theory.
Right.
Which is very big in the underground hip-hop and electronic community. Lots of huge stars have come through and played sets there. Lots of people have met there.
Chance the Rapper was there like 2 years ago.
Yeah, there's lots of, especially these last few shows. There's 7 shows that they have left before they shut down. But one of the notes that one of the like, group of creators left, it kind of gives the impression that they never quite felt welcome there. And so based off of that and what I've seen of Luis, I think he, when that became so successful and became probably the main moneymaker of his business, that wasn't what he wanted, and he was never happy with it.
Right.
And never, instead of going, cool, this is what people want, this is what's making money, this is what's packed and what's creating this whole brand, I should invest in more. How do I facilitate that? How do I add more to that, to the culture, whatever? Instead, he was knocking heads with it. And I think that alone, when you're, you know, your big moneymaker, you feels like you don't want them there.
I feel like in hip hop carries so much of a moral component. Like maybe he was viewing that in a more symbolic way.
Possibly.
I don't know.
Even just if some people rub you the wrong way,
right. And
you know, the music industry is all about relationships. So.
And have you heard? Are they cutting the program?
They announced at the beginning of June that they were shutting down. They were doing 10 more weeks of
shows. The bar shutting down or the program?
The event, Low End Theory. That's every Wednesday.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Mm.
It's been going since 2006.
Is there an outright cry? I mean,
I don't think there's an outcry. The brand recently kind of expanded. They have more events. They have events now in New York and I think in Miami and a couple other cities. And now they have a podcast that they've started with some of the owners and some of the more resident DJs. So the brand's kind of grown beyond there. So I think that's why they're comfortable with, like, look, you want us to be there. It seems like he's trying to sell the bar anyways. So I don't know if he was, like, trying to charge them more money or something.
Right,
but
right. Somewhere
along the way, they're like, look, we don't really need you anymore anyways.
Okay, let's go to the recon and reveal.
Mm-hmm.
The changes in the front was paint. They said, John did say, we restored it to what it was. I'm curious to know if that's what it looked like, you know, 20 years ago, whatever it was in the original venue. Because it had a gray color, and then John changed it to a a brown or a tan, and it gave it an accent. I kind of liked it before,
yeah,
to be honest. But I also do like if John was restoring it to its authentic roots, and I think that's cool.
I trust John here, but I see what you're saying, Kev, and okay. I agree. Yeah, it didn't have the same pop it used to.
Right, and then what do you guys think of putting up that the? We obviously have the neon light, which was great. This is airliner, but then they put up that traditional marquee you see in a lot of these venues where they can put up the names of the bands. I personally thought it made it uglier, but business wise, maybe it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it says to people, like when you see a marquee like that, yeah, you're like, there are shows there.
Yes.
Even if there's nothing on there, it just tells you this is what this place is.
Branding it immediately. Right. It was a little uglier, but it was, I think, probably strategic.
Yeah. Necessary.
When you put a nice big artist name on there, it starts to look a lot prettier.
Right.
With all those ticket sales and drink sales.
We go inside and I love it. I love those chrome chairs. I love how they had modern and retro.
The lights were so cool.
I love the bar top.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the bar top. I didn't notice that.
I think it was just like I don't know if it was a wood carbonate or something, but it was just polished and brand new.
Mm-hmm.
It just looked, And it fit in well with the ornaments of the background of where all the bars.
Vinyl records. Yeah. I thought was great. It was cool. And what I liked is, and sometimes the few times Bar Rescue gets lazy and doesn't do the outside or the other areas, but they went outside and they improved the outside stage as well.
Mm-hmm.
They created railings with
the ledges.
A ledge, right? So you can hold drinks and food while you're watching, which is great. And then lighting, I thought it was great. And then also a remote bar, which is perfect. So, because I know when I've, those inside and outside venues, like they have those pop-up bars everywhere. I even know bars, we've talked about this on the show before too, seasonal bars that the outside's open and it's like crazy and they have all these like pop-up bars outside. And then in the wintertime, that place closes and the inside's still open.
Right.
But the fact that, God, this is LA, mm-hmm, it barely rains. I mean, there's so much you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought the lighting was fantastic. So I, and finally we have three POS systems. We have
the tools they actually need.
Right.
And it looks like they had some staff too that they hired.
They did. They got some other people to help. And we went through during the show and the post show, and man, it was jammed. I'm like, this guy must be so excited
because
I don't think so, but yeah. I was thinking it when I saw it. I thought, and so, and out the door we go. So, I think maybe we go to, let's go to Bar Rescue updates and tell us where we're at now, Jeff.
Yeah, so we have some updates. It looks like what we might have guessed is sort of where we've landed. So the positive reviews talk a lot about the new bar, the drinks, and sort of the overall atmosphere. The negative reviews are talking about staff. So I fear that maybe John wasn't able to communicate the importance of hospitality like he wanted to. One of these negative reviews, the staff are incredibly rude and uncouth. My friend passed out from heat exhaustion inside the venue, and instead of giving him medical attention, the staff accused him of being on drugs and kicked him out. This is no way to treat people, and the staff should be ashamed of themselves. I just think this is an example of when you're running a music venue, It takes a different kind of hospitality. It's harder. You're dealing with a different kind of customer. You're dealing with different kind of needs and demands from your clientele. But you have to be excited about music. And I don't think I think they wanted to be running a bar.
Right.
But this is a concert venue. And it doesn't sound like this bar has the mentality to run a concert venue.
No. I mean, not to stereotype, but when you see the music places, it's like, it's all those people that you can tell when you look at them.
Mm-hmm.
They just love music. That is their deepest, craziest passion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't see one person in there that was bleeding music.
Right.
Mm-mm.
And
I almost feel like you could pay a PR company to hire for you and just give them 5% of the band's cut and let them get all the hottest upcoming acts.
Yeah.
And
I feel like you could definitely get that Nadi could just manage the bar,
mm-hmm,
and the food, and you could have another manager come in that manages the rest of the venue,
right,
booking, but maintenance.
You could, but security. But I will also tell you that look at AfterBuzz. We I think it runs pretty well because everyone who works here loves TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you can do that. But if you get at TT's and at the Middle East in Boston, I mean the bartenders, the maintenance guys, the the bar backs, everybody loved music.
Right.
I loved music the least out of all of them.
Right.
You know, I had to work to hang in, but I was fast, and I could do, like, heavy work for them. And so that's how I held in. But everyone I knew in that world loved music.
You have to.
You know, everybody from top to bottom.
Well, this taped about a year ago. The makeover happened in February 2017. I guess a year and a half, really.
Right.
Things are not looking great for the airliner. Right now, the airliner is actually listed for sale for $450K. Mm. It was listed in February of 2018, and it says, unsurprisingly, the owner would like to now focus on a different business. So I don't think Luis ever embraced the gospel of running a music venue.
And listen, he got a renovation, and maybe he waited for this Bar Rescue episode to air to be his ad. You know, $450 is a lot because I don't think it probably doesn't include the land or the building.
Right.
So I think that's a lot of money. You'd be so far in the hole just picking it up. And, unless you had a super experienced, you know, bar guy, music bar guy, who this was his passion and he's done it before. But I don't think at $450.
Yeah, you think that'll come down?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think so. And, again, I don't know the market around there, but I feel like that's very high for a place that, you know, isn't making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a great venue with bones and all that, but it's all going to come down to that owner. And that owner has got to either know the music business, or he's got to know enough about the music business to know to hire the right people.
Yes.
What do you have to tell us about YouTube before?
Speaking of hiring the right people and the best fans, guys, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. Of course, this is the Bar Rescue after shows, but guys, we produce over 100 after shows a week. From dramas to reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network truly that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Guys, listen up. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will actually suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. I didn't necessarily buy into the subscribing thing, Kev, until about a year ago when I started doing this. And besides helping us, guys, subscribing on YouTube really will change not only your AfterBuzz experience, but your YouTube experience as a whole. They'll literally start suggesting content that you love, and right. I've discovered so much stuff because of my subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried about the notification thing, but again, you can turn those off. It's only designed to help you guys. So hit that subscribe button right now for this channel and other AfterBuzz YouTube channels. Let us know that you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air, guys. So for now, guys, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. Hit that subscription button right now, guys. It will only help.
Thank you very much. And listen, if you're listening on iTunes, you can do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give us a 5-star rating and leave us comments. That helps us as well. So next week, you guys, is Back to the Bar, which, of course, I'll be watching. And they're going to focus on relationships.
Mm, okay.
Oh, boy.
It's funny, you know, and I realize now I realize what Paramount's up to. Because they have all now they have so many bar rescues in the can.
Right.
So you have over 100 bars, and that means over 100 quirky personalities to go and catch up with, and you can rent a studio, you know, which they have, and that, you know, that they set up for Back to the Bar, and they can bang out, you know, a number of those in a weekend, and mm-hmm. you simply just fly in the talent. John doesn't even have to go to do recon. They send, you know, they'll send Phil Wills or one of the, you know, the other, like, bar mixologists or chefs. It works out pretty good.
Smart.
But next week's going to be, now that's interesting, they're focusing on, they're making them themed.
Mm-hmm.
So next week is a relationship, so it should be interesting. And I think John likes being in the talk element.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun for him. It's something new.
Well, and he's good. He's good at it.
He really is. Yeah, it's surprising that all the people I know have gone to broadcast school and can't do what he does.
Right, yep.
You know. Okay, you guys, where do we find you? Nate, where do I find you?
You can find me everywhere that people can be found. At Dog Like Nate.
Okay. You guys can find me on Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham or on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham.
But Jeff, don't we want to know what shows Nate's doing at AfterBuzz?
Oh, I totally cut you off.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because I was going to tell you that tonight you can watch the Preacher After Show right here on AfterBuzz. And if you're into gaming, come check out our gaming show. We talk about all the stuff.
What's the gaming show?
Inventory Full PT on Twitch.
Yeah. And guys, Nate is one of the smartest hosts I know. I'm in the booth for the Preacher After Show, and I'm always just astounded by the encyclopedic depth of knowledge you have. So it really is amazing, especially if you're watching that show. You should definitely check it out.
Thanks,
if you guys
Jim.
Want to see what I'm doing, actually, at 4 p.m. today, I'll be hosting the Claws After Show. Have you seen this show, Claws,
no.
Kevin?
No.
It's got Niecy Nash and Carrie Preston, and it's about these five kind of precocious women who own a nail salon who are trafficking drugs. It's kind of like Breaking Bad meets like Lifetime in the summer, and it's way better than it should be. It's a super guilty pleasure, really
Claws.
Fun show.
Okay,
and great acting.
What is it, USA or
TNT?
TNT.
It airs with Animal Kingdom. So
very nice.
Guilty pleasure show, perfect for your summer, guys. So check out Claws, and yeah, you can see me there at 4 p.m. on Mondays.
All righty, and as for me, well, you know what? I do AfterBuzz TV's Bar Rescue, but I also today I'm doing the finale. Very sad of AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore Family Vacation. But we have good news. Jersey Shore will be Family Vacation will be back in August. They're bringing the show back. And I'll be starting AfterBuzz TV's Flora Bama show.
Oh. Bitches.
Bitches. Yeah, see, I rock the high-low here, Nate. I tell you that.
It's either Billions or Flora Bama Shore.
That's it. High-low. You know what? And listen, if you did see one of the shows we hosted that I'm proud of is Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. We did a four-part after show for the entire series, and I suggest you check it out if you're a fan of Cobra Kai. Also, the Tomorrow Show Wednesday nights live on thetomorrowshow.com, or you can find us on iTunes or YouTube. And
yep.
I think that's it.
That'll do it.
Ad Undergar, you guys. Okay, back to the bar. We will not be here next week, but we will be back for your next episode of Bar Rescue.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Shut it down.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.